Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, Ephesians chapter 1, Paul begins by saying, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." I want to address something this morning as we get started, that Paul very clearly says that these blessings are in the spiritual realm, that these blessings are in the heavenly realms. And so it does raise a question possibly of, well, does that mean that these blessings aren't available to me here in the earthly realm? What's the deal with the heavenly realm and the earthly, with the spiritual and the physical? And I want to be really clear that Scripture teaches us that we have these blessings available right now, today, where we sit, as we walk and as we live in this world. And to give us a perspective on that, I want us to jump over to the very last chapter of this letter of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul's going to address again this idea of the heavenly and spiritual realm and the earthly and physical realm. Because there in chapter 1, he's talking about our blessings. In chapter 6, he's going to talk about our enemies. And he says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood," that would be physical, "but our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." And so Paul is acknowledging that we do struggle here in the world. We struggle physically in the earthly realm. But Paul is very clear to say that while that struggle is real, that the real struggle is in the spiritual realm. The real struggle is against spiritual forces, and it is in the heavenly realm that that struggle takes place. And so there is a definite connection in Ephesians chapter 6 between what is going on in the spiritual realm and what is going on in the physical realm. And if that is true when it comes to struggle and evil, how much more true is that when it comes to Jesus Christ and the spiritual blessings that we have in Him? They're given in the spiritual realm, and they live out and they influence and they affect us in the earthly and the physical realm, because the two are connected. And just as there are powers working against you in the heavenly realms, there are even greater blessings working for you in the heavenly realms, because in Christ we are richly blessed. And last week, we explored this blessing of being chosen. And I ask you this morning, what physical blessing would you trade for the spiritual blessing of being chosen in Jesus Christ? What physical comfort would you trade for the spiritual comfort of being chosen in Jesus Christ? Is there anything in this world that you would trade for the blessing that comes in Jesus? See, that's what Jesus was driving at in Matthew chapter 16 when he said, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" There is no blessing in the physical world that is worth the blessings that we have in the spiritual. And so we looked at being chosen last week, and this week we're going to look at this great, wonderful gift and blessing of being adopted by our Father in Christ. Okay, Paul wrote this letter to a church that was in a city. The city was called Ephesus, an ancient city that we know a lot about. And outside of the city of Ephesus, there was a dump. There was a trash pile. There was a heap, and that's where the city dumped all their refuse. Everything that was unwanted and unworthless went to the edge of the city and was dumped. But based on some historical records that we have, we know that if you walked by that city dump and you listened, you would hear the cry of babies. Because those unwanted babies that citizens' families didn't want They were just left to the elements in the city dump. That's the way in the pagan world that they dealt with that situation. Ephesus was a pagan society. It was under the influence of the devil and under the influence of a myriad of false gods and idols. And it was a city that was full of immorality. And immorality always produces unwanted babies. Babies that are just one too many mouths to feed, or babies that are just too much of a burden, or that get in the way of personal plans, or that are imperfect in some way. And those babies in Ephesus and in much of the ancient world just got dumped outside the gate in the city dump. And it's so easy for us to look back on that and see that as barbarian and see that as cruel and see that as, we could just go on and on with a list of words and we can really condemn Ephesus. But the reality is that America has become a pagan society. And it's under the influence of the devil and a myriad of false gods and idols that are just disguised in different ways. And immorality in our nation is still rampant, and immorality still produces unwanted children. And we are no less innocent than Ephesus in getting rid of unwanted babies. For all the same reasons, we just do it in a cleaner and more sterile way, and we abort them. And since Roe versus Wade, over 50 million babies have been disposed of. And the reality is that that problem is not going to be taken care of in the physical realm. Here's what I mean by that. We're not going to win that battle in elections. And we're not going to win that battle in legislation. We're going to win that battle in the spiritual realm by being disciples who are making disciples. Because when individuals in our society come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they are added to His kingdom, and when they are taught the values of the kingdom, and when they are taught the ways of the kingdom, and God begins to change them from the inside out, then those issues in our physical world that we are so disturbed by will begin to change, because that's what happens when the kingdom of God comes to a society, and when the kingdom of God comes to a city, and when the kingdom of God comes to a family. And that's why I am so serious and so determined that we are going to be people who are disciples, who are out there making disciples and changing lives, and changing families, and changing schools, and changing cities, and changing nations. I believe Jesus can do that. And I believe He does it one person at a time. And so there's a deep and strong connection between the spiritual realm and the physical realm. And it's where our battles are fought. And it's where our blessings come from. And we get to live it out and experience it right here. And I bring all that up because I wonder if Paul didn't have that dump in mind when the Holy Spirit inspired him to write about adoption. Because the reality is that in the ancient world, there were two groups of people who would go into that dump and would take babies out. And one of them were slave traders, who would go and take babies and raise them up and sell them as slaves. But another group would go in, and it was the people of God. And it was Jews from the synagogue, and it was Christians from the churches. And they would adopt those babies, and they would raise them. And the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I can't help but wonder if Paul didn't have that in mind when he shared with us this incredible spiritual blessing that we have in Christ, that God has chosen that in Christ He would rescue us from the refuse heaps of this world, and He would adopt us into His family, and He would raise us up as sons and as daughters. And so the Holy Spirit says, in love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. And this was in accordance with His pleasure and His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Brothers and sisters, if you are in Christ, you have been adopted into the family of God. And this is language that is used all through the New Testament. God adopts us because God loves us. He adopts us as His sons and His daughters, and He becomes our Father, and it's all possible through Jesus. See, in the Old Testament, God is rarely referred to as Father. He is the God of our fathers, but He is rarely God our Father in the Old Law and in the Old Covenant and in the Old Testament. But see, Jesus, who changes everything, Jesus changed that. And Jesus refers to God as His Father over 100 times in the Gospels. And not only does Jesus refer to God as His Father, Jesus teaches His disciples that we can call God our Father as well. And when the disciples said, "How are we supposed to pray?" Jesus said, "Here's how you pray." And the first words in the prayer were, "Our Father." Folks, nobody had prayed that way before Jesus. But God is our Father through Jesus. And He wants to be your Father, and He wants you to be in His family. And He's made a way through Jesus. And it gives Him great pleasure because of His grace to adopt us. And so I just want us to look at four things this morning, that four things that it means to be adopted in Christ. Being adopted in Christ means, first of all, that we are wanted. We are wanted. See, nobody adopts a baby they don't want. People have babies they don't want, but no one adopts a baby that they don't want. And so if God has adopted you, it means He did it because God wants you. And there are some folks here who are in this room this morning. There are some folks here who are watching online who have had an experience where you felt unwanted in your life. And you've had that experience of feeling unwanted, and that in some ways has come to define who you are. And none of you were left in a baby dump, but all of us have been dumped at some point in our life. Now, we can kind of giggle and laugh about being dumped when we're a teenager by a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and that hurt at the time, but we got over it. But there are some that just hurt for a lot longer. And it's harder to laugh at when you're dumped by a spouse, or when you're dumped by a parent, or when you've been dumped by your grown children, or you got dumped by your company, or you got dumped by a coach. And there are some who have felt that painful experience of being unwanted, and it can profoundly affect our life. But don't let it define you. Because in Christ you are richly blessed, and God has adopted you because He wants you. And He's not going to dump you. He's not going to get rid of you. There's not anything you can do that's going to make Him stop loving you and wanting you in His family. And so being adopted means that we are wanted. A second thing that being adopted means is that we were planned for. See, adoptions are planned events almost always. There's something that folks think about ahead of time and work toward and save up money for. They're premeditated. They're a conscious choice. One little girl explained her adoption this way when she said, "Being adopted means that I grew in my mommy's heart instead of my mommy's tummy." Because being adopted means that you grew in God's heart. And He planned for you to be in His family. It was a plan that He had set in motion before the beginning of time and before the creation of the world. Scripture is clear that that's how far back God made His plan for you to be in His family through Jesus Christ. And being adopted also, because when you plan, you got to save for it. Being adopted also means that we are paid for, because adoptions are expensive. very expensive, especially international adoptions. It involves a whole lot of money. It involves a whole lot of time. It involves a whole lot of travel. But no one has waited longer. No one has traveled farther. No one has paid higher than God did to adopt you. And again, He did it through Christ. He waited for an eternity. He traveled from the throne room of heaven, and He paid with His dear Son's life. So you're wanted, you're planned for, you're paid for, and the last thing is being adopted means that you are a co-heir with Jesus Christ. You are a co-heir with your older brother, Jesus. See, everything that God has belongs to His children. Everything that God had belonged to Jesus. But Jesus, that phrase in Philippians chapter 2 that He did not grasp, He did not hold on to, I think it may be connected to this as well, because all of the blessings, all of the riches, everything that God had belonged to Jesus as His Son. But Jesus didn't hold on to it. Jesus didn't rake it in and keep it close. Jesus didn't put it in a safe deposit box or in a locked room. Jesus said, you know what? I want to share it. And I want to share it with all my brothers and sisters. And so everything that the Father has, everything that belonged to Jesus, now just gets apportioned and shared out to us. Isn't Jesus good? And when someone gets adopted into a family, they legally assume all the rights and all the privileges of someone who was born into that family. And that includes an inheritance. Here's what Galatians chapter 4 says. God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. That all that word was the word for daddy. The Spirit that calls out, Daddy. So you are no longer a slave. You have become a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. So what does being a co-heir with Jesus mean? It means that everything that Jesus has access to, you have access to. Which makes me ask the question, what does Jesus have access to? Everything. He has access to everything. It's all His. He made it all. It all belongs to Him. And He's given you access to it. One thing Jesus has is access to God. He's at the throne at this very moment. He is interceding for us. He is speaking up on our behalf. He has access to God, and because He has access to God, and we're co-heirs with Him, we have access to God. Amen. And we can come boldly to the throne of God. Why can we come boldly? Because we don't come groveling as a slave. We come as a son and a daughter walking into the room in which our Father sits enthroned on high. We can do it boldly because we're sons and daughters of God. We have access. And we do out of respect. We, and out of fear and out of reverence, we call Him Lord and God. But there is this equal truth and reality that because of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 4, we get to sometimes just cry out, Father, even Daddy. And He responds, because Jesus has access to God. We have access to God. And Jesus had access to the power of God. That power was displayed all through His life. In miracles, in signs and wonders, in healings, in raising the dead. Jesus had the power of God to endure the cross. It was the power of God that raised Jesus from the grave. And the Scripture tells us that that very same power that raised Him from the grave is at our disposal, because Jesus had access to the power of God. You and I have access to the power of God in our life. We can do more than we think we can do, because we are the sons and daughters of the One who is able to do more than we can imagine We have access to the power of God to fight temptation, to endure, to push through seasons like we're living in with faith and hope and love, because we have the power to do it, because we have access to the power through Jesus. Jesus had access to the peace of God. And Scripture says that we have a peace that passes understanding. Where does that come from? It comes from God. It's a gift. It's a fruit of His Spirit in our life. It's a rich blessing that Jesus had access to and we have access to because we're co-heirs with Jesus Christ. He had access to the strength of God. He had access to the authority of God. We could go on and on and on. Every single thing that Jesus had, we have access to. Every good thing comes from the Father, and we are sons and daughters. We're co-heirs. It belongs to us. It's at our disposal. It's there for the asking. Because you only get an inheritance when someone dies. But Jesus died. And so we live receiving the inheritance and receiving the blessings and receiving the riches in the heavenly realms and right here where we live and breathe. It's not just waiting in heaven. I think there will be more there than we can ever even imagine. But it's not just there waiting. We have access to it now because Jesus died. My daddy died before my Mimi, his mama. And so when she died, my sister and I received an inheritance. Now, it wasn't a lot of money at all. But for a young, struggling family with little kids and Paula still staying home, that little bit of inheritance was an enormous blessing. We were glad to get that. And you don't have just a little bit of inheritance that's come to you. See, I don't think God just meets it out in little, here, I'll give you a quarter today. We'll see how you do with that. Okay, well, you're having a little bit more trouble. I'll give you a dollar. See, God has these rich storehouses. They're inexhaustible, folks. They're not going to run out. He's not chinchy with them. I'm looking at folks right now who I know are generous people. I mean, I literally am seeing faces of people. I know how generous you are. I know that you are generous because your Father is generous. And we can be generous because He is generous. We have an inheritance. We have riches. We have blessings that we can put to work in our life this moment, this hour, this day. If there's something in your life you need to change, that you need to repent of and fight against, and you need to go a different way, it is hard, but you can do it. Because you have that ability in Christ. He did it, and you can do it because of the riches and the blessings that the Father will help you with. You can have peace in adversity because you have access to that peace that passes understanding. You can forgive someone who has seriously hurt you because as a co-heir with Jesus, you have the ability to forgive in the very same way that He hung on a cross and forgave those who were killing Him. You can live a life that is just full of love, that just overflows with love, that loves everybody, that loves people who don't deserve to be loved. You can live a life so full of love that the rest of the world will just wonder at you because you're the son and daughter of a God who doesn't just have love, He is love. There would be no love if there were no God. And that gift is for you. Galatians 3 says that you can be a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. See, it all goes through Jesus. There's no way to get there except through Jesus. You can be a child of God through faith in Jesus. And it goes on to say that when you are baptized in Christ, that He's going to clothe you with Christ. He's going to unite you with Christ. You're going to be in Christ, which connects us back to Ephesians because it is in Christ where we receive all these blessings. And the Father, this morning, would adopt you into His family. and he would change your name. Paula's sister and brother-in-law have three biological children and three adopted children. And we've gotten to go each time to adoption day. It's one of the most incredible days. It is a beautiful, wonderful day. And in that case, this entire group of extended friends and family gathered in the courtroom to be there at the moment that each of those three little children became a part of our family. And a highlight of Adoption Day is when a child's name is changed. And when DeBron was adopted, they talked to him about his name, and his name was obviously going to be changed to their last name, but they said, you might want to keep your first name. That's how everybody already knows you, but maybe you want to think about what your new middle name would be. And he said, I want to think about that. And then one day he came and said he had decided, but he wasn't going to tell them until the day came. And so on adoption day, when all the official things were done, the judge made it official and he became part of their family, he was introduced by the first time for his new name. And he was DeBron. And his middle name he'd chosen was his daddy's name. He wanted to be called by his daddy's name. And folks, God will change your name. He will change your identity. He will change who you are. He will change your destiny, and he will change your destination. Because he loves you that much. And this morning, even with social distancing, we could go through a name-changing ceremony. Amen. And so if you're here in this room, or if you're watching online, first I want to ask you to put your faith in Jesus Christ, because you're saved by your faith in Jesus. But then Scripture always connects that with being baptized into Christ, because that's where all the blessings are. If you're here, we can do that this morning. If you're watching, you get in touch with me and we can make that happen so that you can fully experience what it is like to be in Christ and richly blessed.